This episode of Cognitive Dissonance is brought to you by our patrons. You fucking rock. Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording live from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago and beyond, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. Today is Deep Dive
Day. Long form.
Long form day. And this is indeed a long form article. This article we're going to be talking about is from Mother Jones. Really, I got to say, like, if you are careful about which articles you consume on Mother Jones, they have some genuinely outstanding reporting. Like, sometimes it's not kind of my wheelhouse, sure. Right? Just topically. Yeah. Like, man, I'm not. But when they do deep dive, long form articles on, they do a genuinely excellent job.
You know, there's some of these institutions that had really good names in the past that have fallen. So like Rolling Stone was one of those for a long time.
God, what a mess.
It was amazing.
So good before.
And now it's really just a clickbait site.
Yeah.
So that sort of like happened to several different institutions. Mother Jones is sort of was that, I think, too. And so now, you know, once in a while you'll come across something like this that is long form, in depth. They really did a good job of, you know, just doing good journalism.
Yeah, that's terrific.
Yeah, it's really well done.
Terrific. So this article is, to understand J.D. Vance, you need to meet the Theo Bros. This is an article by Kira Butler. Reminder for our $2 and up patrons, there is audio of me reading this article. So you can listen to the article for our $2 and up patrons. This article for me really, I mean, just to kind of start off, what it does is it helps me to contextualize to a degree that I had not understood before the appeal of J.D. Vance across a segment of America that genuinely I didn't really know existed. Not in the sort of broad categorical sense that I'm coming to understand that it existed.
I think like what's interesting about this segment is that it touches on some things that we've touched on before about the sort of Christian nationalism. The most important piece of that is the nationalism part. It's mm-hmm. not really the Christian part. The Christian part is what you dress it up as, but the nationalism part is the big piece. And what you're seeing in this stuff is a lot of white nationalism, a lot of really patriarchal, mm-hmm. backward thinking. And that stuff is all, it's all manifest in all these different subsets of all these other religions. Because J.D. Vance is a Catholic. His wife is a Hindu.
Right.
You know, he comes from a background that's not this sort of Presbyterian or whatever it is, you know, this evangelical base that many of these people sort of come from, right? He's not from a Reform tradition.
Right.
He's from a Catholic tradition. But he fits in and melds in so well because it's the Catholic part. It might be the quality in which we all get together on sort of that Christian part.
Mm-hmm.
But the nationalism is what really brings us all together. And the nationalism brings with it all kinds of problems.
Yeah. And well, like, and it feels like Christianity right now by these guys is being used not in any like theocratically honest or earnest even sense, but as a sort of like stealth cloaking device for them to bring in a deep level of misogyny and patriarchy, like a deep crazy level that really, like, I'm not saying that the Bible is not full of this. The Bible is absolutely full of deep misogynistic patriarchal shit. But those ideas have long since sort of been, I don't know, like sidelined in mainstream theological traditions for the most part. They've, again, like speaking broadly, sure, I know that in every case. But like there is a group of white dudes who are using Christianity as the cloak to be like, all right, how can we get all these horrible things that we want? And then we can just like kind of paint them with this brush of the cross and we can, you know, cloak them under this like disguise of this new brand of ultra-Christian nationalism and ultra-nationalism. And it's like, and then their poster child is it on the face of it seems so incredibly unlikely. Like he's got biracial kids. You know, he's got, like you said, he's got an Indian wife who's a Hindu. He, as you mentioned, is not from a Reformed tradition. But what J.D. Vance is absolutely willing to sell himself for power.
Oh my God, yeah.
In a way that like no other politician is as blatantly, obviously so willing to sell himself for power. And you don't have to look any further than his about face on Trump.
Yeah.
Like, his about face on Trump, which is just a couple of years ago.
It's not like he was, this is a guy who ran for office
mm-hmm.
after Trump was put in office. So like we're talking a guy whose political career is only 2 years old, yeah, 3 years old.
He's a baby.
Yeah.
He's a newborn political baby. And he is very obviously willing to sell himself out to anyone that will bid him properly. And the currency he wants is power.
Yeah.
He is an installation candidate from Peter Thiel. This article talks about that.
Sure, yeah.
Peter Thiel is, you know, the billionaire conservative nut job who's obsessed with birth rates in this country.
Yeah.
He is absolutely installed, just straight up bought and paid for and installed. That guy dropped $10 million into a local Ohio Senate race. I mean, how fucking insane is that? $10 million from one funding source. That, by the way, should be illegal.
That should be 100%.
Right.
We shouldn't actually have funding for political candidates.
Thank you.
We should just, everybody, that should just be a government thing. You get $100,000, do the best you can.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
do the best you can.
Yeah, everybody gets the same amount.
Do the best you can.
Fight it out.
Yeah.
Go out there and shake hands, kiss babies. Yeah. I don't know what
Make
you got to do.
Make it a hell of a lot more local than it is,
right?
Man.
For real, though.
Stop with these super PACs. Let's quit it, man. There's if you pull that money out, think of how many people could be helped if you just pulled that money out. You know, we just raised $90,000.
Yeah.
For Kamala Harris. I would have much rather handed that money over to somebody else who's doing real boots on the ground work with people and have the government handle who gets money based on.
For real, when you and I first started, I know this is an aside, but like when you and I talk about charity, and we've been talking about this since we started this podcast, even before there was Patreon.
Sure.
When we've been working on charity, the thing that we always wanted was like spoons in mouths or needles in arms.
Yeah.
Like I'm not interested in supporting exclusively ideological causes. When we'd go do fundraising, I want to like, here's a money, make it tangible.
Yeah,
what physically does this
help
do
a human
in the world,
being
right? Like,
right now.
Yeah. And that's always been our ethos on that. Like I'm not, you know, like there's a lot of people doing great work that's important. The Freedom From Religion Foundation, for example, we've raised a little money from them, but they're not like the primary charitable driver that I get excited about. I want to put a rice in someone's bowl. I want to put a needle in someone's arm. Like these are the things that motivate me personally. But like you look at the dollars, that $90,000, I wish that bought rice for somebody in a bowl, you know?
Gosh.
I wish that put a vaccine in somebody's arm.
Yeah.
But we have to do this because money has invaded politics ever since Citizens United in a way that you can't escape from until we decide, actually, this is bribery.
Yeah.
Because it's just bribery.
And the biggest swing of dick that walks in the room is Peter Thiel. When he's got $10 million, think of how much voice he has versus you or I.
Yeah.
Right? We have to band together tens of thousands of listeners
mm-hmm.
to try to gather up just $90,000.
Yep.
Right? I'm not shitting on that amount of money.
It's an immense amount of money from our listeners. Yeah.
But I am saying, like, consider that that's the voice of tens of thousands of listeners.
Yeah.
Now you look at it and you say, okay, well, now we're looking at one guy who's got $10 million. He has dwarfed these tens of thousands of voices because he can do it because he's just so powerful.
That's 100 times more money.
And this is exactly what what J.D. Vance is looking for, that kind of power.
It's, right? It's, right.
He's looking for that transfer of power. I want, you know, one of the things that I think is really interesting is that there is kind of a shorthand for morality in our country. When you say someone is Christian, there is a shorthand that sort of everyone seems to understand that that person is a good person, right? If they say, if anybody uses Christian as an adjective on somebody, what is it supposed to mean other than they're trustworthy or they're good or anything like that? Like that's, I think, what's a shorthand for that. I don't know. I don't agree with it.
What is it? Can I pause real quick? Because I actually want, this is an interesting idea because I agree with you completely, right? You hear it all the time. I wonder, like, what are the synonyms that occur to you that have been sort of like culturally embedded in that? Because as soon as you say that, I know exactly what you're talking about. And what I'm, the synonyms that I'm supposed to like have pop up in my mind would be things like kind, generous, charitable, community oriented.
I was going to say family oriented, but so basically all those. Exactly. Those are exactly what, and that's the shorthand that we use for Christianity. It's not fair.
Right.
Because we've seen time and time again, especially many popular Christian figures do not live up to any of those standards you mentioned, right? But we use it as a shorthand in this country, and many people do. Whether or not you or I use it, I mean, we as a nation use it all the time.
To be clear to the listeners, I don't believe that. Yeah. That's what we're sort of, that's what we're culturally sold is synonymous.
So what I'm saying though is that like, these guys are using this sort of suit, this Christian suit, to say, I'm a Christian. So I'm automatically a good person. I'm automatically in your good column. You've already set me over here and said that person is, they're nice, they're charitable, they're this, they're that, whatever. And then I get a chance to now spout my really shitty backwards views. Let me read just a tiny little piece that you were talking about misogyny here. And this is a really important piece of this article. A 2021 Vice expose, former members of Christ Church alleged that ministers had encouraged them to stay in abusive relationships. That tracks with Wilson's 1999 book, Fidelity, How to Be a One-Woman Man, in which he wrote, quote, "The sexual act cannot be made into an egalitarian pleasure party. A man penetrates, conquers, colonizes, plants. A woman receives, surrenders, accepts," end quote. For that reason, Wilson wrote, "The dynamic of a dominant man and a submissive woman is an," quote, "an erotic necessity," end quote. Now, he later alleged that that was categorically false. Those that they forced people to stay in abusive relationships. He said that was categorically false. But members of the church said that that's what they did. So you choose who you want to believe here, right? Do you want to believe the guy who wrote this crazy misogynist book that talks about like weird ass, like ovipositor alien shit? Or do you want to believe the people who probably were forced to be in abusive relationships? I don't know. Maybe, you know, make a choice.
Yeah. Tough call. Yeah. Conquers.
Yeah.
Do I like fucking that? Like, this is exactly the kind of language that you would expect from a, I guess, like, I would expect this language from a small cadre of lunatics. But what I'm understanding is that this is not a small cadre.
Yeah.
That this is an increasingly vocal, increasingly powerful, increasingly savvy, increasingly online, increasingly message heavy group of people. You know, there are a ton of studies which are continuing to show that Gen Z men are trending vastly more conservative than their female counterparts, than women in Gen Z. They are far more conservative. They are far more patriarchal. They are much less egalitarian. They are being radicalized by this insane material. If this same, you know, religious radicalization were taking place and the cloak that were being used were an Islamic cloak rather than a Christian cloak, there would be an uproar in every corner of the world, right? We would be like, oh my God, won't somebody think of the children? And to be fair, that would be right. We should be worried about that because that is a set of regressive, violent, misogynistic ideas, right? We cannot allow those to propagate. Christianity doesn't get a pass when it is violent and misogynistic, and those ideas should not be allowed to propagate. There's this like idea that the politicians keep floating, which is antithetical to what the podcasters and the video streamers and all, you know, the YouTubers that are the Theo bros are talking about. The politicians, the J.D. Vances are out there talking about how, you know, this is about making choices within your family. But then the proposals out there are not family choice proposals. It's not about how you want to run your household. It's not about who you want to choose as your partner in your life. It's about structural political changes. It's about, in some cases, giving people extra votes if they have kids and assigning those votes to the parents,
to the dad,
which automatically goes to the head of the household, the father, within these patriarchal deals, right? So now all of a sudden, these men have more political power by multitudes, by magnifiers and multipliers. They're talking about like repealing the 19th Amendment and reversing women's suffrage. They're talking about institutional, political, legal changes to disenfranchise most of the people in the country. Yeah. Most.
And this is a backlash, I think. You know, I can't, there's no real link here, right? So they don't link it up in the article. The article talks about these guys. The article talks about, very specifically talks about their ideals and what they're pushing. It talks about the links between Vance and those ideas and how he's, you know, on podcasts with people who talk about cat ladies, and he's on podcasts with people who talk about the use of the post-menstrual woman. And he, you know, he's on podcasts where a lot of these ideals are all being spouted. And he's also, you know, sort of involved with many of the money makers in this big movement. But it doesn't really link the two things together. And the two things are, like you say, this sort of young group of people who are the audience to this group, right? They go out of their way to say, these people aren't boomers. These people are millennials. Right. These people are millennials talking to Zennials, right? Talking to Gen Z, talking to these people who are younger than them and who they can influence. So it's a group of older dudes who, because millennials are older dudes now, right? They're not like young people. They're older dudes now. And so those older dudes are going to these younger guys and they're imparting on them this sort of manly wisdom of, you know, you need to be the head of the household. And they're doing it because what has happened in our society is men, for so long, have felt entitled to women.
Yes.
They felt entitled to be, you know, loved and be respected. And that's an entitlement that they've had for so long because there wasn't a path for a woman to be independent in our country for so long.
Exactly right.
I'm talking about the 1970s is when things start to open up for women. Look it up. I mean, shit. They couldn't own it. They couldn't have a line of credit in their name until that point in time. They couldn't have a house. They couldn't have a bank account in their name. So look, you know, I mean, like they just couldn't be independent. So once they started being able to be independent, then they suddenly demanded that the person who's with them is worth being with.
Yep.
Not just being a man isn't enough, right? That's not enough. Be a good person. Be a worthwhile human being and someone will love you. That is true.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're running into is a bunch of people, a bunch of entitled young dudes who saw an entire generation ahead of them, you know, in these shitty relationships where they were, you know, the fucking guy from fucking Married with Children telling their wife to get him a beer or whatever. And they see that and they're entitled to it. And these guys are singing a siren song they want to hear.
That's exactly right.
So they come and they sit in their YouTube and they listen to them. And then they bring those ideas on to other guys and they spread this around.
That is 100% the case. Let me yes and that. You know, young men are being seduced into an idea or by an idea of themselves as this sort of new cultural underdog. Because what's happening is women are saying, I don't need you. And need is the operative word, to go back to what you were saying. We had a whole system of structural imperatives which required men to have any kind of safety, autonomy, economic health. Like men were the only thing. Men were the cornerstone and keystone. not because men were good or better at these things, but because men put a series of rules in place
exactly
to disenfranchise
right.
women. So women, you know, like a man who provided at all was going to have a whole lot of utility, not because providing is some kind of gender role that men perform better than women, but because women were obstructed from their own ability to do that. It wasn't until the 1990s that women could get business loans.
Oh, Jesus.
To start their own businesses. Then fucking 1990s. Like when I was in high school and in college, women without men could not by law. They were not allowed. Like some people would still give those loans, but they were not protected by law. So they still could be denied a loan.
So you
because
could just
they
walk in
have.
And be like, you're a woman.
Right. And that would be a valid reason to deny a business loan application in Oof. The 90s. These are not like old law. This is not like, oh my God, back in the ye oldie times. That it's been so long. No, none of this is long. So now I think you're exactly right. Women are saying, hey dudes, either step up in these relationships, be worth my time, pull your fucking weight, change a fucking diaper. You know, do the same things I've had to do because women still do most of the household work and they work full time.
Sure.
So that's not, they're tired of that shit. And it's like, well, for a lot of women, it's like, I am better off without you. My life is simpler. I have more money. I have less work if I don't have you. Men hate hearing that. So they've been seduced into believing that they are underdogs because all they're doing is looking back and being like, oh man, my dad didn't have to do that. My grandpa didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, because like women required them to be safe and have a home. Yeah. That's chattel. That's not love. That's not love. That's a form of economic slavery and coercion. Those people weren't, they were not in those relationships exclusively because they love somebody. They were required to be in a relationship. Women are no longer required to be in a relationship at all. It's a really big deal. And men are pushing back on this because they are insecure and they're afraid and they don't understand how to create value personally. And they don't want to do that work.
Yeah.
They want to reinstitutionalize the disenfranchisement of women. That's the goal. They'll paint it with whatever brush they need to paint it with, whether it's nationalism, whether it's Christianity, whether it's anything.
Get
it doesn't
me in
really
the door.
Matter.
Get me in the door.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. But whatever they can do to re-disenfranchise women.
Yeah.
You know, and that because otherwise they're going to have to do more fucking work.
Yeah.
And they don't want
to
do it.
And there's a darker side to this too, because like at one point in this article, they say this guy, this pastor who most of this is based off of, this Wilson guy, Wilson tackled culpability in rape, the dark side of empathy, and the virtues of something called the patriarchy. So, you know, like, I mean, these are things that you know, the dark side of, you know, this is a guy who's talking about culpability and rape. I mean, like these are people who like you were asking for it type people.
Yeah, 100%.
These are awful, awful people.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like how I was saying earlier, people use that as a shorthand, right? They say the Christian, you're a shorthand for being good. 100% somebody says that's a shorthand for me being like, you're a worthless person.
You're the worst. Yeah.
You're a worthless, awful human being. Yeah.
Do you know what I think is an interesting sort of aside, but I think it's tangentially important. I keep seeing, so I'm exposed to a lot of really hyper-masculine, male-centered reels. So I don't know if you are, but like, I like workout shit. I know you like workout shit. You know, I like, you know, I've watched UFC stuff. So occasionally I'll watch like a fight video. So like the algorithm, because I don't click on anything or like anything or comment on anything, the algorithm sees that I'm a 46-year-old white guy who likes workout stuff. And so I get a lot of like really hyper-masculine reels and stuff. And you know what I've started seeing a lot of is Mike Tyson videos. A ton of he's being sort of re-ensconced into the sort of like public sphere as this like figure to uphold. That dude's a fucking rapist. He literally went to prison after being convicted of rape. And that's not disqualifying for him as a status of national hero. He's being sort of re-ensconced and rediscovered. I'm seeing in the comments. I always click on him because I always comment on it. This man is a rapist. And that's my comment every time I see Mike Tyson video. But like the comments are glowing and they're from like young dudes who are rediscovering this person as a sort of new cultural icon. I don't think that that's by accident. I think that's entirely by design. I actually think, conspiratorially, I actually think that the tech overlords that are in charge of this shit are not doing that by accident either, because they are tech bros. Emphasis on bros. And they have ideas and they have values, and like the Peter Thiels of this world are not like agnostic to the promotion of those values. J.D. Vance, I thought this is interesting too, because I was thinking before I read this article, like, what a fucking nut job he is talking about like what women are for. He talks about what women are for all the time. And I'm like, shut the fuck up, man. You're shooting yourself in the foot. This is so politically stupid. What I didn't understand is that by referring as a man to the utility of women, he is now dog whistling to an entire culture of people that I really didn't know existed, that are online, that are sort of like in these echo chambers of patriarchal hate. Yeah. So when he has these conversations about, you know, like, hey, you know, like grandmothers or whatever are really for this purpose. Women are for that purpose.
For the record, that was someone else saying it and he agreed.
Okay. Yeah.
For the record, I want to make sure.
No, that's good. Thank you for that
correction. I don't want anybody to like send a message. That was a podcaster said that and he said yes after that.
And when he talks about, thank you for that, because that's important. And like when he talks about like the biological utility of women, which he talks about by mocking childless cat ladies, right?
Absolutely.
There's absolutely an explicit.
That is something he said. Yeah.
That is an explicit admission that women have a biological utility in the world, and that is to give birth and to be mothers. When men talk about what women are for, they do that for a reason, right? And I didn't realize, I thought like, this is just stupid. You're shooting yourself in the foot. 51% of the country is fucking female. What the hell is this? He's talking to a group of people who are backed by a bunch of billionaires and a bunch of fucking religious conservative nuts who want to Handmaid's Tale the world.
Well, and this is a great gaslight, right, to women. It's not directed at women, but it is a good gaslight to women. Because one of the things I notice as a child-free person is the amount of, it's not gaslighting, but there is definitely some parts of my life where I interact with people who have had comments about my future almost inevitable regret about not having children. I've had conversations with people who say that sort of thing.
Sure.
I'm a guy.
Right.
Right? But I know women hear that all the time. And one of the things that's said in this article, in three of his podcasts, and this is a different person, this person Suave, regularly states that women's primary function is to bear children. In July, after Vance's comments about childless cat ladies who are miserable began widely circulating, he posted on Twitter, said, quote, "It is desperately sad to think of all the intentionally barren women who will find themselves totally alone in their 50s, realizing their irreversible mistake. They will wish they could trade it all, money, vacations, independence, all of it, for children they can now never have," end quote. I mean, that like totally misses the idea that there's adoption, which is fucking crazy.
I know.
But in any case, listen to that.
Yeah.
That is directed at guys to make them feel good about, you know, the way that they feel about women. But it's also directed at women to ping at a bit of hormone regret that pops into people's bodies. Guys have it, girls have it, that's activated by people saying, you're missing out on this thing. Look at what you're doing. And then they can look back to a couple generations where they do see the family unit is women staying at home, women birthing a bunch of kids. Mm-hmm. And they can see that and think, are these guys right? Are these guys correct? Is that what I should be doing instead of what I do? Will I regret it? Clearly this person thinks that. Are there more people who think that? Are there people who are older than me who are now telling me, a young person, what I will and won't regret? Because that is something that happens in society all the time. And so these guys are gaslighting the women too.
And what's very loud to me too in these conversations from these bros is what is being omitted. And what's being omitted in this screaming maelstrom, of, you know, regret that women will feel and the biological utility of women and the problem of declining birth rates. What is constantly loud to me is the omission of any kind of reform around childcare, any kind of reform around, you know, paid maternity leave, any kind of social services supports. And that's not accidental. That's extremely intentional. The omission of that stuff, and then the very fact that like women biologically are going to be the ones who give birth, right? That's just a true fact. That is going to pull women out of the workforce. That is going to require that somebody very often stay home. The cost of childcare being as exorbitant and unsustainable as it is, when you look at the median household income in this country, means that so many families have to make choices about whether or not women are going to return into the workforce. Because almost exclusively, even though that should be, hey, maybe I'll do it, maybe you'll do it, that's not how it works. You know, it works that way very infrequently, sure, statistically, sure, right? I don't want to say it never works that way, but that's not the cultural norm.
Right, right.
So they're trying to drive a cultural norm that encourages more women to get pregnant, to reduce social safety nets, to reduce access to contraception and abortion, to encourage women to be fearful and afraid so that they are more willing to accept lower quality partners, so that they're more economically in thrall to those partners. They are required to stay in relationships through economic coercion. It pulls them out of the workforce and men no longer have to compete with them.
Yeah.
And they're afraid of all that in part because women are surging in college. They're going to school more often. They're graduating at higher rates. As soon as you like take the fucking shackles off of women, they've done extraordinarily well. They've looked at the society and they've said, okay, well, now that I can fucking get a loan, now that I can actually support myself physically in the world, and that there's been a generation that's passed that's allowed me to sort of like have some time and some social room and some economic and educational mobility, women are surpassing men in all these important pieces. And these dudes are freaking out. They're absolutely freaking out. And the solution to this is to purposefully make more women be pregnant and make sure that there are less social safety nets. And that is very loud, what's being omitted.
Another piece of this that is evident once you hear J.D. Vance talk is the racism.
Oh my
right?
God.
So when J.D. Vance talks and says horrible racist shit and keeps repeating horrible racist rumors about Haitians in Springfield, Ohio, he keeps doing the same thing and saying the same thing. This is the great replacement theory that these guys preach, mm-hmm. right? So these guys preach a lot of stuff. But one thing that they preach is assimilation, right? So I don't think they care so much who you are, but don't you dare speak another language and don't you dare be another culture. One of the things that they say in here, this guy says, he's talking about on his podcast, he's saying, or no, it was a recent conference. So at a recent conference, he registered dismay over immigrants in his community. Quote, "It's like full straight up Hindu garb at our neighborhood swimming pool that my daughter is asking about and I'm trying to explain," end quote. What the fuck? How fucking hard is it to be like, some people are different cultures and they dress a little differently than we do.
Yep.
And we should find out about their culture and ask them about their culture and be inclusive. Like how fucking hard, like literally I just solved your problem,
done
man.
And done.
Yeah. I just solved your problem for you.
Yep.
You got to explain it to your, what do you got to explain? Other human beings exist to your daughter?
Yep. It's the same bullshit non-argument of like, well, what if I saw two guys kissing or what if two women got married? You'd be like, well, you would say that happens. And that's get some cookies. Who like that's nothing.
Literally the end of the conversation.
There's nothing complex here unless you are the one that can't wrap your fucking brain around it. And the reason these guys can't wrap their brain around it is they're afraid of being dethroned. What assimilation means, it assumes that there is a primacy to an existing white culture.
Right. Absolutely right.
If I'm going to say you have to assimilate, I have to say assimilate into what? And then we have to answer that question. And they do.
Oh, yeah.
They say, well, you got to be a WASP. Yep. Right. And if you can't pull off the white part, you at least need to pull off the Anglo-Saxon Protestant part.
You better pull the rest of it off.
And we'll take you if you're an ASP, right? Yeah. Like we'll take you if you're an ASP. You can't be a WASP. Fine. We'll take you if you're just an ass.
Yeah.
But you damn well better assimilate into WASP culture.
You better be as close as you can every way. And this is, and that makes it seem like it's sort of, you know, that's racist, but it's also, you know, dog whistly and, you know, not out in the open. I want to read some out in the open stuff. 1996 book. Now this is from the same guy, this Wilson guy. Southern slavery as it was, Wilson and his co-author argued the master-slave dynamic was, quote, a relationship based upon mutual affection and confidence, end quote. And, quote, there has never been a multiracial society which has existed with such mutual intimacy and harmony in the history of the world as the antebellum South.
Fucking hell. This is worse than the Lost Cause shit. You know, like the Lost Cause shit, which really sought...
You're right. You're absolutely right. Go ahead.
The Lost Cause stuff really sought to reinvent the reasons behind the Civil War to create a new and false and, by the way, non-contemporaneous narrative about what caused the Civil War to say, oh, this was really always about states' rights and, you know, it was not about slavery. This is worse because they're just saying, you know what? Slavery was awesome for the slaves.
Slavery was awesome for everybody. Everybody was enriched by it.
Who the fuck? There was a politician who recently came out with the same sentence. There was a major politician. God damn it. We covered it when it happened. I can't remember who it was.
Someone will tell us.
Yeah. Like this has actually made its way. This idea has made its way into mainstream right-wing politics. So this is not like relegated to the fringes. And I think that's like, really important part of our conversation today for people
DeSantis,
to understand.
Florida.
That's right.
The Florida was doing shit where they were saying, no, I mean, like, it was beneficial. They were using PragerU shit.
Dude, that's right. Yeah. And it's worse than that because it wasn't just some shit a politician said. It was indoctrinating materials that were going to be put into education.
It's a policy.
That's fucking right, man. It's worse than I thought. It's worse than I fucking remembered, man.
And also, that's just one piece, but there's other people too. Later on, the same guy who's talking about the Hindu garb says in August, he remarked on his show that, quote, a lot of people are going to be surprised when you're spending eternity worshiping Christ next to Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee. And, you know, George Whitefield and Martin Luther King Jr. are in hell.
Jesus Christ.
So let me tell you, man, this is the fucking racist shit out loud. Like this is a guy who's like, no, man, those racist fucking Confederate traitor generals, those guys are baller.
Yeah.
Those guys you're going to be worshiping with in heaven. Well, let me tell you, I'll talk right to that dude. Fuck heaven then, bro. Like, fuck those people forever. Fuck your face.
Let's go hang out with MLK.
Yeah, eat my ass. Fuck you, man.
Hey, this is the leader of a civil rights movement, a nonviolent civil rights movement that simply sought an entire, for a race of people to be treated as human beings. He's like, that guy will go to hell. If you believed in heaven and hell, first of all, you're
I don't believe in your fairy tale, whatever. But fuck your fairy tale.
That the idea that like we're dividing a line between the good and the bad.
Yeah.
And we're putting fucking General Lee on one side, the good side of the column.
I know. What is
fucking happening?
Let me read this other piece too, because this is the cringiest shit I've ever read in my entire life. So this is that Wilson guy as a YouTube. He was sort of goaded into getting a YouTube channel by his family. And they have him seated at a Thanksgiving table and he starts talking. This is a video that they're describing. If you think of my blog as a shotgun, he says, this is the month when I saw off my typical careful qualifications and blast away with this double-barreled shorty. His wife, clad in an apron, brings out a turkey and places it in front of him. And a tranquil scene is interrupted by a blaring horn and a glowing red perimeter breach sign. Wilson excuses himself and heads to the garage and straps on a flamethrower. After using it to light a cigar, he aims the fire at a cardboard cutouts of Disney princess Elsa and Ariel and the logos of Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, and Netflix.
Netflix?
Holy shit,
do you not like to chill?
I just died of like fucking secondhand cringe. Are you kidding me right now?
Doesn't this feel like that one-eyed fucking pirate senator who made that action video?
It does!
Remember
that? It does! That pirate retired senator. I remember that guy. He's like, oh, they're voting? I better go. And then he jumps out of a plane.
He cuts like this Texas
Pirate Senator.
Yeah, I forgot what his fucking name is. Like One Eye Willie or whatever.
Inconsequential guy.
It does not matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Yeah. They also in the same thing, they're like, yeah, and fucking also Taylor Swift. And you're just like, she writes songs that are just love songs for kids, man.
God.
You just hate her because she's rich.
Yeah.
Well, fuck. This shit makes me so laugh. It makes me laugh so loud. It's like also Taylor Swift.
Yeah. And you're
like,
there was a guy this week. Man. Did you see the guy this week who broke her guitar?
No.
So
what?
Some fucking Trumpster. A guy in, all I have to say this, guy in a button up American flag shirt.
Of course. Yeah.
Bought a Taylor Swift guitar that was signed by her for $4,000. And he walked up with a hammer and then he smashed the guitar that he had paid $4,000 for. Now, it come to find out it wasn't actually signed by Taylor Swift and he paid $4,000.
So here's what I was going to say. So Haley recently was like, we were just talking. She's like, you know, I was going to surprise you with concert tickets in Indianapolis because I like Taylor Swift. Yeah, yeah. So she was like, I was going to buy us tickets. She's going to be in Indianapolis. The worst seats are $2,000 a ticket.
Yeah.
So I was like, there's no way a guitar, if I can't even go see her for under two, and we're not going, I must have spent $2,000 for nosebleeds. So like, if you can't even go see her for $2,000.
Like courtside seats at a fucking Knicks game. Dude, a guitar
signed by her? It would be worth who knows how much.
Yeah.
I love that. Oh God. Yeah. I love that he got scammed.
Yeah,
and
he got scammed. So you spent your money and you broke your Rage guitar. It wasn't even for her.
That's like burning your money twice. Yeah, that's like burning the money and then burning the ashes.
I hope it went to a great cause. I'm sure it didn't.
Dipshit.
I think that this article is totally worth reading. I think people should go out of your way to read this article. If not, just listen to Tom. If you're a patron, you can listen to Tom read it. But genuinely, really, really scary shit showing you the backdrop of what J.D. Vance is. The sort of marionette strings that are pulling J.D. Vance and where you're seeing, you know, we talked about it in this, where you're seeing some of these ideas pop up in mainstream Republican culture. You're seeing these ideas start to pop up. These are shitty, awful, backward ideas that we thought we progressed well past since like the 90s, I think. And now they have come full circle. They are back in the mainstream. These are a bunch of dudes that are getting more and more audience every single day. And they're using that toxic masculinity and that awful worldview of entitlement to just warp a ton of young minds. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this week. We'll be back on Monday, but we're going to leave you like we always do with the Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo quasi alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy healing, water downward spiral, brain deadpan, sales pitch, late night info docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards,
are you
nuts?
You try sending Albert away.
Shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your signs. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed the show, consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/dissonancepod. Help us spread the word by sharing our content. Find us on TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, and Threads, all under the handle @dissonancepod. This show is CAN-credentialed, which means you can report instances of harassment, abuse, or other harm on their hotline at 617-249-4255 or on their website at creatoraccountabilitynetwork.org.